And thank you for joining us this morning as we enjoy a time together as adults. And this morning we are in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we are almost at the end of the chapter. For our Sunday school studies this year, we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 12, going verse by verse. I trust that you have been encouraged. So Hebrews chapter 12, let's have a look at the last two verses of the chapter. I trust you have a handout sheet of notes. If you don't, they're available at the entrance table at the entrance. Hebrews chapter 12, why don't we read verses 28 and 29, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews chapter 12, verses are also there in your notes. Verse 28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us once again to be conformed, to be transformed by the word of God. Lord, help us to be molded and to be broken. Help us, Lord, to come to you in humility and godly fear for that which you, Lord, declare in your word to us. And Father, help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Lord, help us, we pray, to be willing to allow you to change us. Lord, we pray for our Sunday school classes this morning. We pray that in each class, Lord, you would bless the teachers and bless the hearers, Lord, our children, teenagers. Lord, may each one, Lord, be spoken to this morning in a special way that would either lead to their salvation or that would lead to their Christian growth if they are saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are going to look at serving the Lord, and it's really the subject for the whole day today. But as you can see in verse number 28, God now brings to our attention this issue of serving Him. After we've seen chapter 12, we've looked at the examples of faith earlier on in chapter 12, then the Lord Jesus Christ, our greatest example. Then we've looked at the subject, the forgotten subject of God's chastening. And through all that, God doesn't only want us to learn as students, but He wants us to serve at the same time. That's why this morning's lesson is called Studying and Serving. Studying and serving. God wants us to study and serve. Now, I'm not saying my little story, because I like to talk about myself, but I don't want to embarrass any of you, so I might as well do that to myself. That when I was at school, I remember having a job, and I wanted to buy something. I had a goal to buy something that I really wanted, so I got a job in order to do that. And I remembered how difficult it was to study and to work at the same time. How many of you remember that? You know, it's much easier just to focus on your studies than to have a job on the side. And when you have a job on the side, you really need to manage your time and try and work it all out. And sometimes your work overtakes your study. Sometimes the study overtakes your work. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. I remember when I was at university and I was working with my parents, and they gave me work, and I was able to work with them. And again, it was a juggling act. You know, it's much harder, much more work to study and work at the same time. When I was in Bible college, the Lord blessed me with work in the school holidays. So every holiday, I didn't have a break. After all that grueling work was over for the term, and I felt like sitting back, well, now it was time to work and save up for the next term. And that's just how the Lord worked in my life. Other students actually worked during Bible college, and I had the blessing of working in the holidays.
And I'm sure many of you have that same experience. The challenge of having to study and work at the same time is not easy. It's not easy. And how many times we would have rather just study or just work. But when it comes to the Lord, as we begin this lesson, the Lord wants to get us our attention to see that not only are we students in the school of faith, but at the same time, God calls us to be servants. Our whole life as Christians is a life of re-education, being schooled in this subject that we call faith. The just shall live by faith. And I'm sure you would agree this morning, God is teaching you and I all the time how to live by faith, chastening us, correcting us. And yes, that is the school we've been put into the moment we were saved. But we need to not quickly forget that we're also called at the same time to serve. To serve. That's why the Bible says, let us have grace in verse 28 of Hebrews 12, there in your notes. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So your first blank in your notes is the word serve. Be a student and serve. Be a student and serve. You see, God doesn't want us just to sit back and learn. No, He wants us to be working at the same time. We are to serve the Lord with our lives. Now, in fact, if you are not serving the Lord and you are just learning, your Christian life will become very dull and boring. Now, perhaps you've heard Christians say this before. Maybe you've said it before. Well, I think the Christian life is boring. You know, it's dull. Much doesn't seem to be happening in my life. And that's because perhaps it could be all theory but no practice. You see, God has called us to study, to learn, to grow, but the fulfillment of the satisfaction and the blessings in the Christian life come as you and I serve the Lord and exercise our faith in the Lord. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about our everyday life. I'm talking about serving at home, serving in the workplace for the Lord, serving in our families, and of course in the church. We are to study, we are to be faithful in the school of faith to grow, but we are also to serve at the same time. People who don't serve are the most likely to drop out of the school of faith. Those who ultimately don't come to the point of serving the Lord with their lives, ultimately these are the ones who are most likely to drop out of the school of faith. Why? Because that kind of Christian becomes a Christian who's stuck, spiritually empty, spiritually unmoved, not growing, not moving forward in their faith, dull and ready to drop out. Why? Because they don't have an outlet to exercise their faith. Now, when I was in Bible college, I remember learning about the nation of Israel and the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And if you've ever seen a map of the Holy Land, you would have noticed that in the north, there's the Sea of Galilee. And you remember in the Bible, that's where the Lord called His first disciples, and they were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And then as you trail the sea, as you look at the Sea of Galilee, which is a big lake, inland lake, and you follow the River Jordan down, it comes to another sea. Who can tell me what that one is called? The Dead Sea. That's right. Now, why is it called the Dead Sea? That's right. The salt content, isn't it true? The salt content is so high, and you've probably seen pictures of it. People can float on the top of the water. When my parents went to Israel, they were blessed to go on a trip. They experienced how dense the salt density is in the Dead Sea, and how you can actually just float on top of the water. And if you look at what's taking place, you can see very clearly why it's called the Dead Sea, because you see, all the water is coming in, but it has no outlet. There's nothing going out. Is that right? It just collects water from the River Jordan and it stays there. There's no outlet, there's no flow on, but the Sea of Galilee is full of life, fish. That's why they were fishing there. No one fishes at the Dead Sea because it's dead. But at the Sea of Galilee, it's full of fish, full of life. That's where the fishermen go. But the Dead Sea is void of life. It has fresh water coming in, but it has nothing going out. It has no outlet. And what is the point? Well, some of you have already worked it out, I hope. That we as a Christian have two choices. Either we can be a Sea of Galilee type of Christian, where we have truth coming in and service going out, which keeps us alive and moving forward by faith in the Christian life, or we become a Dead Sea dropout. That's what happens. If we don't have anything going out, then we will become stagnant and stale. Doesn't matter what's coming in, you see. Doesn't matter how often we're in church. Doesn't matter how often we read our Bible. If we are not serving the Lord acceptably by what we have been taught, we become to grow. We become stagnant. We become stale. We become like the Dead Sea. Let me ask you this morning as a Christian, which one are you? And it's good to be honest. It's good to say, look, I really feel like I'm a Dead Sea Christian. And that's a good thing to know, because at least you know what God wants you to do. That's a good thing if we admit that. And if we admit, well, I believe the Lord wants me to do more. But the point is, we are to be students in the school of faith and serve at the same time. That's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 emphasizes this subject of service. Let us serve God. What a conclusion at the end of the chapter. If we're not giving out, then we are spiritually lifeless. We do not lose our salvation, of course, but we become stagnant. We become prone to dropping out of the Christian life. Serving is not just for pastors. We have to get that out of our head. Serving the Lord is not for pastors and missionaries only. Remember what was our main verse from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. What did we learn? That we need to all of us as Christians, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will for you. God has a will for me. But for every single born-again Christian, we have been saved to serve. And if we are not serving, then we are a Dead Sea dropout. We're in trouble. We have been saved to serve. So let me encourage you this morning to be a student, yes, but to also serve the Lord. There in your notes, the next blank is, don't stay in the classroom. Don't stay in the classroom. So the blank is the word classroom there on the second page. So we're on the second page, Roman numeral number 2. Don't stay in the classroom. Have a look at verse 28 again. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. See, in the Christian life, the only reasonable thing for you and I to do is to serve God. It is our reasonable service, the Bible says. So we need to serve Him. You know, when I was recently saved, it didn't take long for me to realize the exciting truth that you all know, that when God saves us, He has a specific plan for our lives. And it's an exciting plan. It's a plan that He has designed already in heaven for you and for me. There's His general will, as we spoke about on Sunday morning. Then there's God's specific will, the small details. And I remember when I first got saved and I realized, wow, God has a brand new life for me. God has a life of service. I wonder what He wants me to do. And as a young Christian, I didn't know which direction God was going to lead me in, but I looked for ways that I could serve God wherever I could serve Him. If it meant picking up the vacuum cleaner in the hall and vacuum cleaning the hall after Sunday school in the building we were in, or if it meant you know, greeting people in the church and just going around and saying hello, though I wasn't an usher, though I wasn't in any role, ministry role, I wanted to serve. I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to be an encouragement. And I come up to my pastor and say, "Pastor, is there anything I can do? You know, I'm here to help. I want to help. I want to do something. I want to serve the Lord." And I remember one day, pastor said, "Well, I've got something for you to do. I want you to song lead." And I said, "Gee, that's not what I was asking for. I was happy to vacuum or do something behind the scenes." And he said, "Well, you know, you said, you know, you wanted to serve. I'd like you to song lead." And the men were going away to a big conference overseas, and the deacon and the assistant pastor, the other interns, the pastor, they were all going, and we were left without any song leaders. So Wayne and I, we were in Bible college by that time, and he said, "I want you to song lead." So we learnt how to song lead. I can't still read music till today. I know some basics. I never could. I never sang in public before, but that was all. That wasn't an issue when it came to serving God, because I just wanted to serve Him. I just wanted to praise Him. So the Lord helped me, and it wasn't easy at first. But brethren, we need to have a heart to serve God in whatever He wants us to do, and however we can be a blessing. And then pastor said, "Well, I want you to be an usher at the door." I said, "All right, I want you to help out in youth group. Now I want you to coordinate the soul winning ministry. Now I want you to teach some Sunday school classes to the teenagers. Now I want you to preach." And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And I just continued to serve the Lord. And I have to say, till today, I dread where I would have been if I would have, as a Christian, not made that decision to step out of my comfort zone and exercise what I had learnt in church by stepping out by faith. You see, the just shall live by faith. Not just learn by faith, but live by faith. And the only way you and I can do that is to step out and serve the Lord. So what's the point? Don't stay in the classroom. Amen? Don't stay in the classroom. We are in the school of faith, but nothing will happen in your life and mine if we don't get out of the classroom. Now, can you imagine a cooking class that only used books to teach the students how to cook, but never allowed the students to learn in a kitchen? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a chef being trained in a school here in Cairns to be a chef, Brother Benny? Imagine a chef being trained from books, and he was never willing to step out into the kitchen and cook and learn from being in a kitchen. And Brother Benny will tell you, you know, it's good to know some theory, but you really need to put it into practice. Until you learn in the kitchen, you'll never become a chef. And I think that's obvious to all of us. But imagine a chef being trained that way. What about a doctor? Would a student doctor ever become a doctor who is not willing to be put in that, wow, that awkward, challenging, life-changing experience of being in the operating room and delivering their first baby? I know Cindy's sister, she's a doctor, and I enjoyed learning about all the experiences she had to go through as a student. It's amazing what they do when they put these students in a position where they have to actually be at a birth, where they have to be at a critical operation and even help out with their own hands. Why? Because that student will never become a doctor unless they exercise and practice in service what they had learned. And that's exactly the same in the Christian life. Unless you and I put into practice what we learn from the Word of God and in church, we won't be able to go forward in our Christian life. Don't stay in the classroom. Christian, are you stuck in the classroom? Are you stuck? The Bible says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, how does an athlete become a good runner? How does an athlete become a good runner? Does he read books about running? He might. He's got to get out there and train. Excellent. That's right, Brother Jeff. He's got to get out there and train. He's got to exercise. And is it easy? No. Will it include times of failure? Yes. Will it include times of embarrassment where we do fail and we feel like, well, I can't do this? Well, we've been there before. And oftentimes we allow those moments to stop us. I remember for years song leading, my face would light up as red as a Christmas light on a Christmas tree. That's how nervous and embarrassed I was. I don't think I was actually comfortable, that means trusting the Lord, until maybe the third year I was song leading. Most often at times I just get flustered, I look at people's faces, and if they're laughing in the church, I think they're laughing about me, and I'd go even redder. And then worse of things, when pastor got up to talk and make announcements, I had to sit down at the front, and everyone I felt was watching me. But I had to just trust the Lord that He wants me to serve Him, so I just need to allow Him to change me and to grow me and to help me. Friends, serving the Lord is not always going to be comfortable. It's not always going to be natural. In fact, it's not natural. It goes against our selfish insecurities, pride, fears. But we are all called to serve Him acceptably, without question. We are to serve God acceptably. When a Christian drops out of the race, it's because they have not been serving the Lord. They take in the preaching. They take in the Word of God. They learn truths. They go through trials, but they do not give out. That's the Dead Sea. That's a lifeless Christian existence. Friends, if you want to serve God, then you can be a blessing right where you are. Right where you are. You might be thinking, wow, it's just so far out of reach. I can't serve God. You can serve God right now. In your homes, in your workplaces, in the church. We can serve God right now. And before I get to the last point, don't wait till graduation day in order to serve. I hope that point has been understood. We're called to study and serve at the same time. Because let me ask this question, when is our graduation date? That's right. That's right. When we see the Lord, we are standing at our graduation. Amen. The school of faith is over. Our faith has become sight. We are now in the presence of the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the time of service on this earth is over. Finished. So if you and I wait for our graduation to begin to serve God, then we're in big trouble. We've missed it. We've missed the opportunity. So don't allow the world to influence how you think about the Christian life. You know, many times we think about, well, we think how the world thinks. Well, we go to school, we go to university, we graduate, and then we work. But you see, God says, no, I want you to study and work at the same time. That is my plan for you. That is my will for you as a Christian if you want to move forward. And friends, if you want to serve God, then be the best husband you can be. Be the best wife that you can be. Be the best employee where you work. Be the best witness you can to the people that are around you every day. Be the best church member that you can be, that is just willing to help out in any area at any time. What's the point? Don't stay in the classroom. Amen? Don't stay in the classroom. You see, serving in the church isn't for my profit. It helps. It encourages me. But it's not for my benefit. It is for you. It's for your benefit. That you serve using your spiritual gifts according to the will of God and enjoy the refreshing blessings of the Christian life. Lastly, in your notes, have an outlet for service. Have an outlet. Friends, what is your outlet? What is your outlet? If you don't remember anything, just remember this illustration of the Sea of Galilee and then the Dead Sea. One has an outlet, the other does not. One is full of life, one is full of vitality, one is full of freshness, the other one is dead and stagnant, and really good for nothing at the end of the day. Perhaps a spectacle to tourists. That's all it's good for. Now, we don't want to be a spectacle, do we? No, we want to be a good testimony. We want the world to see that there is life in us. Life more abundant. Isn't that what the Lord said? And that abundant Christian life is found in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The vitality and the joy comes from studying and serving at the same time. Now, in Acts chapter 6, just a quick example, you remember how there was a problem in the early church. The Grecian widows were being neglected. The Jewish widows were being looked after, but the Greek widows were not being looked after. And they were complaining to the apostles, what are we going to do? Some people are neglected in the church. Something's lacking. So what did they do? They appointed some servants. That's right. They said, all right, well, look, as the disciples stood back, the apostles, I should say, stood back, they said, well, hang on a second. Look, we can't do everything. God has called us to minister to the word and to pray. That is our two main priorities, the apostle said. The ministry of the word and prayer. So we need to now encourage some people to serve. So they looked out for those who can serve. Now, these weren't just any ordinary people. These weren't just attendees in the church. No, the people that they picked were wise, honest, spirit-filled Christians. These were Christians that were faithful, amen? These were Christians that loved the Lord. And they were going to serve widows. But at the end of the day, who were they serving? They were serving the Lord. You see, any service, ultimately, is a ministry unto God. And maybe you are serving, and perhaps you just haven't received the joy from that, because oftentimes you forget, like I do, it's a ministry for the Lord. If you get easily discouraged by people, don't be disappointed by how people respond. You are serving the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, not one cup of water given in my name will be forgotten. Your reward is in heaven. See, we can serve the Lord. We can serve Him every day. The question is, do we have an outlet? Are we putting out and not just taking in? Friends, we need to serve God acceptably. At home, in church, in our business, everywhere we go. Now today we'll be talking more about spiritual gifts and serving the Lord and getting a little bit more specific about God's will for our lives. But just at this stage in this lesson, friends, what is your outlet? What is your outlet? How are you serving God? If you're here this morning and you have a craving for more, that's good. Let that drive you into action. Amen. Let that drive you into fulfilling the calling of God upon your life. There will always be an emptiness when you and I are not in the will of God, even if you're serving Him. I remember when we were in Sydney and I was serving the Lord in as many ways as I could, there was still an emptiness. There was still an emptiness because God was calling us to something more. I didn't know what that more was. My wife didn't know what that more was, but she could tell, and she told me herself, that there's something missing. We felt like we were becoming Dead Sea Christians. Though we were serving God, but we weren't fulfilling His specific will. And He was redirecting us. He was allowing that leanness into our soul to just unsettle us, make us think and pray and consider, are we really doing what God wants us to do? It's not that we weren't, what we were serving Him in and doing as a Christian was wrong, but it wasn't where He ultimately wanted us to be and go next. Does that make sense? So God will allow you to feel uncomfortable and say, look, I just don't feel like there's much happening. But don't be mistaken and allow the devil to lie to you that's because you're a no good Christian and you can't be used. And it'll be easier to drop out than to step out by faith and serve God. That's what He wants to stop you from. And some of you might now be so discouraged, you might say, well, there's no way that I can serve God. Well, I hope this year, looking through Hebrews chapter 11, has convinced you that these people were just as sinful as you and I, but they made a choice to live by faith. By faith. That's the only way we can serve God. By faith that He can use me as a sinner saved by grace. By faith, I can make a difference in the lives of others. By faith, there are many more greater blessings ahead. This leanness that I feel right now can change. Amen. It can be done away with. How? By not only being a student, but serving God acceptably. If you've been a student for a long time and never served, well, you're still in the lower grades. It's putting what you've learned to practice that makes a chef in theory a chef in reality. Amen? That's what makes a chef. And by the way, he trains for a while. And he's a trainee. Amen? And he makes mistakes. And he burns his hands. And he cuts his fingers. And he gets rebuked. And he learns the hard way. But through enduring, ultimately, he'll become a better worker. Amen? So in the Christian life, we need to study and serve. And friends, let me encourage you to get on that path of service. Let me encourage you to see your ministry to others at home as a service for God, to enjoy that fulfillment. Some of you are already serving, but not doing it acceptably because you're not doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it because it's the Lord's will and it's the Lord's plan for your life and receiving satisfaction from doing His will. That might be one issue. I already said that, so try not to repeat myself, but there is more to do here in our church. Amen? You see, you might say, well, if this church had no pastor, it would fall apart. That ought not to be so. Amen? And it didn't, by the way, between pastors. Praise God. Because there were some that were willing to serve. Amen? That's what will make the difference in Coastline Baptist Church for the future. Not who the pastor will be. He fulfills a role, but he's also a servant. He's a servant like everyone else. If the church doesn't serve, that's when the church dies. That's when the church suffers. Let me encourage you. There's much to do here at Coastline Baptist Church. If you have a desire to serve God, let me encourage you to make that known. You need an outlet. So do I. We need to serve God acceptably. Oftentimes we want the blessings of God, we want the benefits, but we don't want to pay the price of getting in and doing some work. Amen? Getting in and getting our hands dirty. You know, we want to, and that's the deception of becoming a doctor. You know, it sounds glamorous, and perhaps it's the most desirable occupation in the world from the outside. But once you get in, wow, that's hard work. Wow, that's dirty work. Wow, that's a lot to do with the ministry when you're dealing with people who are angry and upset and understandably fearful because they might die. Those are the kind of people you're ministering to. It's not glamorous. You know, sometimes we have the wrong idea. Hey, we want the blessings, but when we start serving and it's not as glamorous as we think it is, then we drop out, we give up, and we don't reach the end of that fulfillment in serving. I'm glad I didn't stop song leading because I just felt embarrassed and uncomfortable and awkward. I'm glad I didn't say to my pastor, and I could have, this isn't for me. Okay, I don't have a musical background, you know? And he probably would have rebuked me and said, well, the Bible says He hath put a new song in your heart, James. Even praise unto your God. So sing. Are you going to serve? Friends, we need some song leaders. I'll talk about that in the next message. Amen? You don't need to read music, be able to do that. Just some basics, but you need to be willing to serve God acceptably. And if you do, you'll be a Sea of Galilee Christian that will be full of freshness and life, and you will draw others to Christ as a result.